Hey guys, welcome back to episode 15 of Calculated Chaos. Today I'm here with Amy Banks.
Hey.
Amy, can you introduce yourself?
Hi, my name is Amy Banks. I'm 17. I'm from Galway and I sing opera.
Yeah, so fun fact, we actually recorded this podcast about 3 or 4 months ago, but on my end, I ended up messing up the audio and it was unusable, so this is round 2, and thank you to Amy
for being so
accommodating about re-recording this. So I suppose we'll start from where we met. So we met at Colossal Lurgan 2 years ago.
Yeah, it was course to be 2017.
Yeah.
We met like the last night or something.
Yeah, it was like the last couple of days.
And then we met again on course to C 2018.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then obviously then I was kind of around Lurgan because they're one of our clients and you were doing course and then hopping in and out of course.
Yeah. as I do, you know.
Yeah.
But
yeah, because I still remember us meeting because like I don't remember meeting that many Galway people on course at B 2 years ago, or maybe I still.
Yeah, it was like me, you, my sister, and then I think there was Owen.
Owen wasn't on B 2 years ago, or
I can't remember. There was a few people from Galway.
He was in the lead that year, but he was in.
Yes, not there was a different Owen.
Owen Dignan, yeah.
I think so, yeah. Yeah,
in Cormac. Okay. Like, I was in Cormac with his older brother, Ivan's house.
Yes,
and Luke Keaveney, shout out to Luke Keaveney.
There's a few people anyway, yeah.
But anyway, I remember kind of the registering that you were in Galway then, like, kind of memorable, and then we all saw your performance then, I remember, for the talent show. What did you end up saying? What were you saying that year? You were saying Zara.
This is me. I think.
No,
the first year.
Zara Larsson.
Time to say goodbye. And Fonny Gallonay, I think.
Yeah.
Yes,
oh yeah.
That was it. God, that was a while back.
And I remember because you're not the tallest, right? So so everyone was getting ready to listen. And I remember our house somehow ended up being the talent show was a bit of a joke. But remember you started performing and everyone just stopped what they were doing behind the scenes and even the whole crowd. Just, you have a very powerful voice.
Thanks
a
million.
Well, obviously that's what you do, and I don't think, you don't flaunt it or anything.
Oh,
because there was another girl, Leah Barneville, and she was from Britain's Got Talent, and everyone knew
about
her.
Yeah.
But I think you turned a lot of heads that day.
I remember
Limo specifically going, holy shit.
Oh my God, no, it was a really great course. That was the first one I'd ever done.
Same.
And it really changed me as like a person. It made me really more sociable and really opened me up to a lot more types of music. So I was really specifically just classical and kind of classical crossover at that time.
Mm-hmm.
But like lately I've been experimenting with more kind of pop music and musical theatre and all kinds of things. I'm just trying different things. And that just kind of comes after Lurgan because you're singing with so many people. Like, you're always just jamming with people and, you know, Shamar Losty and stuff like that.
Course,
so, yeah, that's it.
And you and your sister went.
Anna, we did.
And was there anyone else you knew there, or was it just the two of you that went?
Me and Anna just went the first year. She's my twin sister. So it was, we weren't actually that close before we went. And then afterwards, we got really close afterwards.
Oh, yeah.
I kind of, because we were in the same house, we knew no one. We were just kind of on our own in a place we didn't know. So, it was just really good in that sense. And then I've made some great friends over the years as well. So
Absolutely. Like, if Lurgan hadn't happened, we would have never met each other.
Exactly,
that and so many more people.
Because
I went by myself that year. So I knew absolutely nobody.
I did that the second year then, because they called me and they were looking for a Kinnera for course A.
Yeah, last year.
And I said I'd do it, because I wasn't doing anything. I had nothing to do all summer, so I was like, might as well go a month early. So I did that course A, went by myself, knew no one. But it was a big step for me, because I normally have Anna there for new things. I'm never by myself.
Of course.
So it was kind of a big step for me, just going by myself, doing something by myself completely. Mm. So it was a great course. Then I did course A, course B, as a Kinnera then again, and then C. I was back as a Cultor.
I remember that. And then you did This Is Me last year.
That
was your main song. That's really well as well. That was a big performance.
Oh my God, it was incredible.
Just Sorry, did you sing that at Fearlessly, didn't you?
I did, yes.
Yeah.
Oh God, Fearlessly was class. It was, it's just a really great experience that you get to do these things. You get to work with professional videographers. You get to work with professional, you know, lighting, all this kind of stuff. And you wouldn't normally get this opportunity anywhere else. Like, it's just unheard of anywhere else. So when I was looking at things to do, Lurgan was the only thing that had music as a specific kind of thing that you could do if you were like a singer or a musician and you got to work with sound engineers and everything. So it was just, it's really, really great.
Yeah.
Great thing to do. So,
especially when you're into music. Exactly. Even if you're not into music, like,
there's so much more for everyone else. Because
I think that is the stigma that, like, if you go to Lurgan, you're a musician or a singer.
Yeah. But it's just not that. Like,
I can't sing or really play music. And I had a great
time. Enjoy it. Yeah, exactly.
Like, I went, like I said, 2 years ago, this last year, and then I was in and out. I went on a couple of trips, and this year. And I don't know, just great memories. And just the people you've met that you run into them everywhere as well. As, like, I know a longitude amount of people from
oh, God, I'd say so.
Lurgan and Ramita, and then see the picture from Electric Picnic, and even just randomly in Dublin. Lily Kenny did last day, just randomly.
Oh
no
my
one.
God, yeah.
But yeah, no, I definitely think that it is kind of scary going by yourself for the first time, but then you're kind of just forced just to meet new people.
Yeah, and that's like literally, it's the best thing that you can do, like going by yourself. Because I know people who've gone with their friends, they stick with their friends, they don't try and talk to anyone else outside, and it's just, that's not how you meet like new people, so.
Yeah, when you don't know anyone, you're really,
oh God, yeah, you just have to really go out of your comfort zone.
An underlying message this channel. That wasn't a plug. But I know one friend group, and I won't say who, but they're two went together.
Yeah.
And one friend just being so dry and so down about it, and the other person just wanted to enjoy themselves.
Yeah.
The negative friend ended up leaving, and the other friend was so happy she left. I don't think they were friends after Lurgan.
Oh God, yeah. But make or break.
but she ended up coming, the girl that enjoyed it, she came back again this year, and she was working on the concert and everything, like, I'll say who it is after. But I remember ended up, on the first day, I was a kinder and they were both scholars, so I ended up going up and kind of just making conversation. Because, you know, first few days, people are very closed off. Like whispering this and the other, but I've only got great memories from really from Lurgan. I definitely would advise anyone else. Actually, this year at Fearlessly, one girl came up to me and she went, I was between going to Clash Ishka and Clash Lurgan, and I looked up on YouTube Clash Lurgan, watched your video, and I went to Lurgan because of it.
So I'm like, it's an amazing video.
Yeah, so Michal, I want my commission. But Fearlessly, even again this year, we were working at it, and it was mad, like, just the work Hannah puts in behind the scenes with the dancing and everything.
Oh my God, it was amazing this year. Really.
What's the one, is it Chris O'Shea?
Chris O'Shea.
His video was very
good. Amazing, came out the last day,
And obviously your twin sister Anna had Senorita, which is a very well produced video.
My God, it's got over, I think, 50,000 views now, which is crazy. Oh my God, it's so great for her, honestly. Yeah. I was so happy that she got it.
No, absolutely. I didn't even know Anna sung before that.
No one really knew. Because the first year we were here, she went into the audition, but she messed it up.
Yeah.
And nothing came of it. Last year she couldn't go because she was working.
Okay.
And then this year she's like, feck it, I'll do it. And she got it. And she's an amazing singer.
Yeah.
Like, it's just mental. Like, she actually performed with me last night. I was singing at the concert in Bushy Park, and we performed last night too.
Yeah.
So that was nice.
Was the first time performing together?
No, we were actually singing. We did TG Cahir, a show on TG Cahir called Rail Tuk Squelta.
Oh wow!
It means stars and like relations or whatever. And we heard about it, and we said we'd give it a go. And we said we'd give it a go.
Yeah.
And I'm all over the place. Yeah. But we said we'd give it a go, and it was great. We did The Prayer by normally sung by Celine Dion and Andrea Bocelli, and then we got into the second round, and we sang Barcelona by Freddie Mercury and Montserrat Caballé, which I also didn't learn.
Yeah, I remember that last year.
And it was a great experience. Sadly, we didn't get into the final, but it was just kind of a good step to go in, because that was the first time we kind of ever did something together. So
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, yeah.
Right, it's mostly so nice as you perform them together. It's like,
yeah, no, it's really good. Yeah, yeah. No, but yeah, no, I've done a lot of performing over the last few years.
Yeah.
And I've had some amazing opportunities. Like when I was 13, I got selected to be the Irish candidate to perform at the Junior Eurovision in Bulgaria.
Wow.
That was 2015, I think. No, yeah, I was 13 at the time. And then the year, sorry, and then that Christmas, so the Eurovision was on in November,
mm-hmm.
and then that December, I had won an international competition called the American Prodigy,
yeah.
and that led me to sing in Carnegie Hall in New York. So that was an incredible year. And then from singing at it was like an event on in Merrick, actually.
Yeah.
I met this lady and she brought me over to Boston, where I managed to have a audition with a big orchestra, which it went well. I was quite young. I was only 14 at that time.
Yeah.
But I had my solo concert in the Norman Rockwell Museum,
mm-hmm.
In Boston, and then I had another concert in the Whitney Arts Center over there as well, which was
wow.
incredible. So yeah, from there, it's just kind of gone amazing. I debuted in my first opera in 2016. Mm-hmm. I was 14. It was Roger Doyle's, it was Roger Doyle's opera, Heresy. He was one of the first composers ever to write an electronic opera, mm-hmm. which was produced on stage. So it went amazing. It was a really incredible experience, and to say that I was able to debut in an opera at 14 is just still amazing.
Yeah.
So I'm very thankful for all the opportunities I've had.
And did the Junior Eurovision kickstart a lot of this stuff? Is that art?
It did, yes. And I have to say, Lurgan, the video that I did in Lurgan, This Is Me, has kickstarted a lot of things as well.
Really?
So, yeah.
It generated leads.
It did, yeah.
So
yeah,
people
yeah.
found you through that video.
Yeah, they
and
did.
Then researched.
Like, I performed at Pendulum Summit. It was a big conference in Dublin. Speakers like Colin Farrell, John Cleese, Boris Johnson.
Wow.
We're all talking at it. I actually met Boris Johnson and John Cleese.
Wow.
John Cleese was so nice. He's very funny. But I got to sing at that. I sang This Is Me, actually, at Skalga. So that was an incredible experience. Oh my God, it was just, it really was amazing. Yeah.
I didn't realize, because you know sometimes they put your name in the title or they don't put your name.
Yeah.
Or they always put in the description. I never always check, but
mm-hmm.
I didn't realize people got leads off of those videos. Because I know they
do.
Some
yeah,
get so viral.
I have my own website, amybanks.net. So
yeah,
it's
check it out.
so it's very it's handy that I have that. So when anyone types my name up in Google,
yeah.
that comes up and has my contact details and things on that. So that's very helpful. Mom does a lot of things. She helps with everything, basically. If it wasn't for her, I wouldn't be singing, you know?
Yeah.
And the same with my Nana. Sadly, she passed away a couple of years ago. She's one of my biggest supports.
Yeah.
So miss her a lot. But, you know, if it wasn't for her, my mom, none of this would have happened. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And they got you singing originally, was it?
They did. Well, I've been singing. My mom told me this thing the last day, where when I was a baby, was like a newborn, I kept making kind of like sounds, like melody sounds, I don't know.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. And then from there, I kind of was singing before I could speak.
Wow.
And then, yeah, I was always singing kind of from whenever I can remember. But the first time I kind of performed anywhere, sang on a stage in front of people, there was, we were at Mass one of the Sundays, and normally the kids would go into the sacristy and, you know, colour in, learn about things that so that we wouldn't be bored out.
Of course,
I was only like 4 or
that's
5 at the time.
Well. Yeah,
yeah, exactly. And then we come out at the end and the priest talks to us. And at the end we came out and I went up to the priest, I tugged on his robes and I asked him, could I sing? And that was the first time I sang. I sang In the Arms of the Angel by Sarah McLachlan.
What age?
I was only 5 or 6 at the time. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That was very funny. But that was kind of what started everything.
Yeah.
And then from there, I was doing things like stage school and things on the weekends. And my first kind of big classical concert was the Galway Clinic's 10-year celebrations. Mm-hmm. So it was their 10-year anniversary, and they had the Papal Nuncio there as a guest. They had singers and stuff, and it was like a concert. So it was really, really great. And that's from there I kind of started doing more events and singing kind of everywhere. So yeah, it was really well. Yeah, and it was that performance there. We recorded it. We put that into the competition, for Carnegie Hall, and that's that's what it. Yeah.
And what made you? Because you know, a lot of like younger kids when they come out singing, they go more toward the hip hop of the rap cabinet moment.
Yeah.
What made you go down the opera route rather than the more conventional route?
Well, I was never really able to sing pop.
Okay.
Like, I was able to carry the tune, no problem. Like, yeah. I can sing it, no problem. But it was just the fact that there's something there that wasn't meant for pop and stuff. Mm-hmm. And my mom had this CD, Angelus, and she always used to play it in the car. And there were things like P.A. Yezu, In the Arms of the Angel. That's where I learned it.
Yeah.
Just listening to it. And I just picked it up that way. And from there, I just kind of found something in it that I couldn't find in any other kind of music. Mm-hmm. So I just, anytime I sing it, I just feel kind of free, I guess. I know that sounds really cringy, but it just kind of transports me to somewhere else, and it's really good. So yeah, I love it.
Yeah. And then what was the junior Eurovision like process like? How was that as an overall like?
Well, it was a new thing. It was the first year Ireland had ever done the junior Eurovision, and we saw this thing online, and Mom said, "Oh look, we'll go in for it, see what happens." Yeah. And I went in for it, and it turns out you had to write your own song, and I had no idea what I was doing. So we had a family friend help me out, and it was good because you could get help from from people. So he managed to get a great song, helped write the whole thing, and I then wrote the Irish lyrics, and from there kind of just got a really great response, and I got into the semi-finals. Mm. And then I won the semi-final and got into the final, and then from there I won the final, and then we went on to Bulgaria from there. Mm. So it was quite a fast process, and then there wasn't a lot for I think like a month or two, and then it kick-started again because as it was going. So it was a really incredible experience to be able to do that, and from there I actually was able to perform on the Late Late Show.
You
were
on the Late Show?
I was, but it was the week before I went to Bulgaria to do it. Oh. So it really was like incredible, and I got a lot of great opportunities from it. So
yeah. It's funny how those small little things like your mom stumbling upon the internet and that led you on the Late Late Show, you going to Bulgaria in Ireland.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's amazing. And then after that, you saw Carnegie Hall.
I did. Yes. Yeah.
And then, was it a solo performance or was it only performed that night, or how did it work?
It was a prize winner's concert. And then I actually won a special recognition award from the judges on the night as well.
Right.
So, if I could go back, I would. It was just an amazing night.
Yeah.
So.
And then I know you kind of see with a lot of people when they're growing up and their parents, their managers, usually your mom kind of manages you or like with that.
Yeah.
How is that balance of being mom and then being kind of manager and kind of?
I get you. Yeah. Well, it's very good actually. She's got it down to a T, honestly.
Yeah.
Yeah. She knows exactly. Like she just kind of slots like. Oh yeah, like someone has asked you to sing, she'll obviously check with me first. She never, says yes to something without asking me, which is, great.
Yeah.
Because, it's like she puts everything through me. So she's, it's just kind of so that, that I have someone there to represent me, so that I'm not dealing with it myself first. Because she'll know whether it's good for me to do something or if it's not good for me to do something. Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, of course.
But I do try and do everything that I can. Do you know, it's because I do love performing and every opportunity to do so is, you know, I take it. So
yeah. And then you are now up in the music school in Dublin.
I am, yeah.
So when did you start that, or explain what that or what the school is?
So the Royal Irish Academy of Music, it's one of Ireland's oldest music conservatories. Actually, it's one of the oldest ones in Europe, I think.
Okay.
But it's a music college normally for college students, third level students, masters, but they also have part-time students. And I applied, I wanted to move on. I had a great teacher in Galway, Michael Durham, and I was with her 4 years. I was with her since I was 11. And she guided me in everything, and it really, if it wasn't for her, my voice wouldn't be what it is today. So, yeah. You know, it was really good, but I just kind of wanted to step further and do something that would kind of, you know, because the Royal Irish Academy is kind of the gateway for opera in Ireland, and it's the same with DIT, their course as well, and a lot of opera singers that you see coming from these schools, they're singing all over the world now. For example, Tara Rocks, she's a mezzo-soprano from, and she went to the Royal Irish Academy. And she's singing in places like the Met Opera in New York and all over Europe. So it really is like incredible to see where people go from the college. So, you know, it's just incredible. And to be working with the same people that they have worked with, you know. So. Yeah, I have an amazing teacher, Kathleen Tyne, and she's the head of vocal and opera in the academy. Very lucky to have her, and she's an incredible teacher, and she's really helped me in the last couple of years to get to where I am at the minute. So.
And when did you start going there?
So TY was when I started, because it was the age, you have to be 15 and over to go into the academy, so I just turned, I think I was 15 at the time, and then I was turning 16 in the February. So we applied, and they set me up for an audition and an interview, and I managed to get in, and it went very well. So I was very, very happy with getting in. So fingers crossed. I hopefully I'm doing my bachelor's of performance there after school. So
well done.
Yeah, fingers crossed. Anyway, we'll see how it goes.
Yeah. And to get in there, is it more an interview? So obviously, you've won Stebbings, you're already a permanent student there, but after being there, do you need a certain amount of points, or can you just do...
I don't think it's the points. You don't need points to get in. Because it's an associate school of Trinity College, so you're kind of doing the degree through Trinity,
okay.
But you're in the Royal Irish Academy of Music.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to get the same matriculation requirements as Trinity to be eligible for the course. And then from there you have to do a theory test and an audition and an interview. So that's really the process, and I'll be doing it this year. So
yeah.
I have to start to do my application and stuff now in the next couple of months. So
I suppose it's a little bit easier because you're already part of a student there that.
Well, I know it'll probably be easier for me to like get around places because I know it so well.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if it'll be easier for me to get in because there is incredible talent everywhere in Ireland. Like the amount of people I meet through Fashiona, which are competitions that I do, like all over Ireland, and like events that I perform at, I meet people as well. So the amount of talent in Ireland is just outstanding.
Mm.
So it's definitely not going to be easy, you know.
Yeah. And then, so you're going to once a week to Dublin at the moment? So
I do, yeah.
So you do 4 days a week and going, leaving here, and you do 1 day a week up there.
That's it, yeah. Mm-hmm.
How is that balance going? I know you did it for 50
years.
It's
actually okay. Last year, I dropped down to do 3 past subjects just because I'm not worried about the points. If I get a good leaving cert, I'll be happy, you know, but it's not something that I'm pressured about. It's not something that I'm stressed about. I'm doing 3 past subjects just to kind of take that bit of pressure off, to stop getting, you know, having the pressure to do the work, having the pressure to, you know,
there's no point.
Oh, there is, because if, like, I have friends doing English and I'm doing Pass English, and they have to write, yeah, no, it's so much work. They have to write like essays
every night,
and it's just so much easier. Yeah, yeah. So, no, it's definitely worth it, you know, not putting stress on, but it's not that I'm stressed at all. Yeah. Like, I'm just kind of taking it easy and seeing how it goes.
Yeah. Which class are you doing?
I'm doing math, English, and French.
Okay. Yeah. English is a good one, because, like, to be honest, I walk into my mock and I got like an O2. I didn't really look at anything before.
Yeah. No, it's handy enough because I love English, like, but it's just the workload for me to start is crazy.
It's really time consuming. Like, for up until halfway through 6 years, I was in a higher level English.
Yeah.
I had a terrible teacher. I had a phenomenal teacher in 5th year,
yeah,
which is quite well. It's getting like H3, it's going well.
Oh, fair play, yeah.
And then teacher in maternity, got a terrible teacher, and I was like, I didn't need that many points. I was doing 7 higher level, and I was like, okay, I'm going to drop one.
Mm-hmm.
I think that and French. And I dropped that because the teacher was horrendous.
Yeah, I get you.
And French isn't a terrible paper, because I did for Lurgan last year. Mm. I went and did a French course for 3 weeks.
Oh, fair play.
So
yeah.
I was living in St. Mary's.
Oh, I've heard about that one. Yeah,
ELC, which is great fun as well. Like, very similar to ELC, except you do 3 to 4 hours of theory in class which was very intense.
Oh,
but half of the activities are actually better there. Like, they put like way more time into like.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah. Like, you know, like Course of D, they do like Take Me Out and stuff. Like, yeah. They do that there.
Oh,
speed date and
nice.
Stuff.
Oh, so, that's like, good. Yeah.
Because everyone's like, I think most people are kind of, it's like a senior course and a junior course. So, everyone's kind of 4th, 5th, and 6th year. So, whereas
strong.
In Lurgan, you're going.
You're kind of from all over the place.
Literally
yeah.
from like 2nd year to 6th year.
Yeah, yeah. So, you have to be very careful with,
Yeah, all that sort of crap. So,
yeah.
Yeah, no, so. I definitely agree that like not having to do, especially for you, like taking the stress off yourself is the right way to go. Because
like it's grand, but it's just kind of, you know, I'm not really academic. You know, I don't like the curriculum in school. I have to say, I don't like it. It's terrible. But like other things, I'd be interested in. I'd read up about them outside of school.
Of course.
Like I love reading and stuff like that. So it's not because I'm not, you know.
Yeah, you're not telling us to fuck off, but you're like, you're deciding, you're looking at your priorities.
Yeah, that's it.
So
yeah.
Like, you're choosing.
Like, music is my priority. It's not like, you know, that math or French.
You do sing. that's why you do sing in French.
Yeah.
How many languages do you sing in?
I sing in 10 languages. yeah.
Go on, what language?
Right, so there's Irish, English, French. German, Italian, Latin, Norwegian, Spanish, and then Japanese and Korean.
And you sung all those languages.
Yeah.
And that's like song specific. So when you're learning a song that you like, you have to just speak it through that language, or like what's the certain song?
It's not too bad with Italian, French, and German. I've done a lot of those. English is fine. Irish is fine.
Irish.
But those three, they're quite similar to one another. Mm-hmm. So a lot of the meanings are the same. So if you see something that's similar in French, German, and Italian, it might be the same word. Like it's weird.
Yeah.
They have a lot of things that are
similar,
connected.
Yeah.
Like French is grand because I do it in school, but I do need to focus on pronunciation. Mm-hmm. Italian is handy because I've been doing it for years. I've been singing in Italian since I was 10. So it's handy. And then German, I've done a lot of German in the last year. I've really focused on specifically on German this year, so I've done most of my songs this year were in German. So I'm kind of doing that every year. I'm focusing on the one thing that is hard for me, because German was very hard for me. I couldn't get the pronunciation at all because there's very little tricky things. Same with French.
Yeah.
French is very tricky to sing it. Italian, I find Italian okay to sing in. It's quite easy for me, but I still have to work on pronunciation and things like that. So it's a big thing in opera that you have to have your pronunciation right, you have to have your technique right,
mm-hmm.
you have to have, like, you know, like
yeah,
you have to be. It's very technical.
Yeah.
No, I've had great teachers, so I don't have to worry about technique. Well, I still have to worry about it, but like they've guided me in such a way that's very, very good. So they kind of, you know, I have good ground things.
Yeah. You put the groundwork in, so it's now easier when you go and doing that.
Yeah.
And when you're singing all the different languages, do you always understand what you're saying? Do you ensure that you understand what you're saying, or?
Well, you have to know what you're singing. Yeah. Like, if it's kind of, you're like telling a story when you're singing, especially in opera, it's about telling the story. You're singing, you're a character. So, for example, one of the songs that I'm singing at the minute is called Mina Lipin Sikusin Sohais. That was written by Lahar, and it's from an operetta. It's not really from an opera. They're kind of like a musical. They're lighter than an opera, because operas can be quite heavy, tragedy-wise.
Yeah.
Like another song I'm singing, Saltro che lacrime, it's from La Clemenza di Tito by Mozart. And that's quite a heavy opera. It's sang by Servilia. She's singing the song to Vitellia, and basically Vitellia is trying to mess with her brother, Servilia. Servilia's brother. But all this kind of stuff happens. It's very, very dramatic. And in the end, it turns out okay, but there was a lot running up to the end, and it's a good story. It's very, you know, but it's very good. Like the Lahar, I sang a couple of his songs. Vilja is one of them. A lot of people know it because it's played quite frequently. Andre Rieu plays it with his orchestra. But that one has a story. You're singing a story. You're singing about a man in the woods, right? And this woman is she's like a nymph of the woods. She's like a fairy of the woods, but she lures men in and tricks them and makes them stay with her, makes them fall in love with her and all this kind of stuff. And they can't get away from her then at the end. But the man is singing about his love for the nymph in the wood, but basically, like, those stories you have to be able to come across in your singing, so you have to be able to perform the story, like not just sing the songs, you know what I mean? Performing is a big part of it, but it's a really great thing to be able to do, though, being able to story, you know, be a storyteller, do you know what I mean? Yeah, it's a big thing in opera. Yeah.
And then, so you sing through all these different languages. In turn, do you end up like becoming more confident speaking them indirectly, or like is it just kind of limited to the song?
Yeah. Well, I learn, like, for example, Italian. I can figure out the pronunciation from my other songs that I've sang, but then I would have to go over it with like a proper Italian, either an Italian person or like a diction wise. I wouldn't say it would make me being able to speak the language better, because I don't really speak it, do you know what I mean? But like certain meanings always come back, so that you can always kind of see those words.
Yeah.
And you kind of know what you're singing, but it takes a while kind of to learn to speak it. Like, I'd love to be able to speak German and Italian, but it's very it's hard to learn languages.
It's not a straightforward process.
Yeah.
And then so we go into the legal search, and then you go and study in there. So. So if, let's say, someone else wanted to get into opera, because I suppose it's a little more niche than typical music.
Yeah.
Where would you advise they start?
Well, look around for singing teachers around the area that specialize in, like, around your area that would specialize in opera singing, or that they have kind of like a background in classical music or whatever. That would be very helpful, because you wouldn't want a teacher kind of that specializes in like musical theater pop. But you can have singing teachers that range from all those different types, that they specialize in everything.
Yeah.
You know, so I'd say try and find an interest in it first. If you're interested in it, because it's a tough road. You have to, if you really want to commit to it and get somewhere with it, there will be quite a lot of sacrifices. Friends-wise, you won't be able to meet up with them a lot. Parties, you can't drink, but you can drink in moderation. But smoking is a no-go. You can't go near it. Not good. Wrecks your voice, wrecks your vocal cords. Yeah, it's not good at all. Same with weed. Weed is terrible, especially for... It's actually 10 times more damaging than cigarette smoke on your vocal cords. So you have to be very, very careful. Some people do, and it says it doesn't affect them, but then there's studies that show that it's not good at all. So it's really up to you, you know, it's your own choice. But you just have to commit to it. It's tough, I'm not going to lie, but it's worth it in the end for the satisfaction of getting to perform in front of people and getting paid to do what you love, you know.
Hopefully, bring on the podcast. That's literally what they're trying to do, is they're trying to pave your own way and sacrifice now.
Yeah.
And obviously, you get paid to do what you love down the line. Tower, he's 18, he never drank. Still Falcon Club, he's an athlete, and he can't go out late because he has to get up early for training and stuff.
Fair play to him, yeah.
Yeah, like that's not easy.
No, it's not at all.
So, especially being an athlete, it's a lot tougher because of your sleep schedule. As singer, obviously, you need to your recovery sleep, whatever, but.
Yeah.
You know, at 6 a.m. going for your sprints in the morning. But, and did you find that tough at all, or did you always have kind of the foresight to see, okay, I could be going out with my friends, or I could be doing this, but I have to go rehearse instead?
Like, for example, Friday night, my friends were out in town.
Yeah.
I couldn't go out, I decided to stay home. First, because I was wrecked after the first week of school.
Yeah.
But also because I had a concert. Actually, had a concert the next day, so I was like, "There's no way I'm going out." Because the thing is, with drink, you get so dehydrated.
Yeah.
And you need to be hydrated. You need to be drinking water 24/7. You have to be on the ball about what you're putting into your body.
Yeah.
Like, you can't be eating chocolate or having really salty things before you sing. So you have to be very, very careful, you have to stay hydrated, like drink a lot of water. You just have to be careful, but make sure that you have enough sugar so that you're not gonna have like a low, do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
because that can happen during long days of recording or long days of like just performing, like doing concerts or at events. You have to be sure that you have the right sustenance and, you know, that will get you through the whole day.
Performances, you hit a low.
Normally before performances, before like a long day or like I probably like eat a steak or something like that just to stay me through the day, because it really helps. You won't be as hungry then through the day, you won't be picking up things, do you know? You just have to be really careful because you do use up a lot of energy singing. My teacher has told me this numerous times, but it's like singers are athletes. You're doing workouts the whole time when you're singing, because the way that you're breathing, like I can finish songs out of breath. Like afterwards, I can be like, you know, take me a while to get back, because it's very tough. Like especially the really hard songs. You can be left kind of like, whoa, like afterwards. But it is a great challenge, and I love that about it. So it just takes a while to get used to it, really. But Celine Byrne, she's one of Ireland's biggest opera singers at the moment. She's singing everywhere. She's singing from Bord Gáis. She sang all over the world. From that, she only realized she could sing at 19. And she was one of the, like, it was just, you know, it's quite unheard of to hear of a person going, only realizing that they could sing
that late
and becoming such a success story as her. Like, it's just incredible to see.
Chance, I'm only 18.
Go for it.
No, I wrote that off many years ago. But, that's really interesting. And then, I suppose, you're saying you have a bachelor's, so that's three or four years?
4 years.
Four years. So then, like, you want to be a full-time singer then? There's nothing else that would be...
Well, the thing is, you have to do your 4 years.
Yeah.
And then most opera houses or opera companies won't look at you until you have your master's done.
Okay.
Yeah, so you have to have those, another 2 years. So you have to have that done. And if you can, you can get into a young artist program.
Right.
And young artist programs are things that opera companies set up or opera houses set up so that young people can perform in roles, some main roles, some supporting roles. But they get this and they get paid for the thing. You're like in... like a resident in the, you're not a resident, you're not staying there, but you're like staying in the opera house, you're singing, you're part of most productions there. Irish National Opera did one, their first one last year, and those singers have now performed all over Ireland. Very, very successful. They're still performing in concerts all over the place, National Concert Hall, all sorts of stuff. So it's great to see, those things working out for people. So,
of course, yeah. And then, I suppose the one thing that sticks with a lot of people, whether it be public speaking, whether it be singing in public, the crowds. How do you handle that? Have you always found it okay? Have you struggled to build up, or how do you handle that?
Well, one thing I do struggle with is the speaking side of it.
Yeah.
So when you're singing, you kind of have to be able to present yourself. I'm fine confidence-wise standing up. Normally, you don't need to introduce things. Normally, you don't need to do that. Somebody does that for you when you're performing somewhere. So normally, you just walk out on stage and sing your song. Normally, I'm fine. That's fine doing that. But the speaking-wise, it can be quite difficult. I've always kind of struggled with speaking publicly in front of a group of people, in front of like a big group. But it's getting better, it's getting there. It's just something I have to get over, and because it just comes with as part of the job, you know? Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's so funny because I'm the exact opposite. I love speaking in front of people, and the more bigger the crowd, the more, you know, I love it. And is that the same to you, like, when you're singing? Is it like,
when I'm singing, if I see a big crowd, I'm like, oh yeah, here we go.
Yeah. No, same with me in speaking, but I think one thing that my parents did when I was young, and it kind of helped me out, was I did 5 years of drama.
I did drama as well.
So I did with Claire Power in town.
Trading Faces.
Yeah. So I did 5 years. I did a full 5 years with Claire, but I did 1 year in Claire Power or something, then did my other few years with Claire. But I was doing the acting and stuff, I wasn't doing any singing or anything, but I think that really helped my stage confidence, and then I kind of got that taste for
being
on stage with a crowd looking at you. And, hopefully, in the near future, I'm kind of push towards doing public speaking. It's one gig, I'm so close to getting October, but I can't imagine until I actually have it. But that's so funny. Like, some people are terrified of getting up on stage.
Yeah,
like, some people said that they...
But it's a great skill to have, though, at the same time, because you don't know when you're going to be needed to, like, speak in front of people at your job, for example. You have to do a presentation in school, like, things like that. It comes in handy.
Yeah.
But, it's still quite hard. You know, you don't know what you're going to say, but some people have great charisma and they can just go up and do whatever. They don't even need to prep. Like, it's just crazy. And I still can't believe people do that. I'm just like, how do you do that? I just like talk to myself beforehand before I go up and be like, okay, these are the points that you're going to say. This is what you're going to do. Mom's great for like telling me, you know, how to, cause she's great. She's she does presentations all the time. You know, she's great at public speaking.
Yeah.
I'm terrible. So she's giving me points. So that's very handy as well. So, yeah.
And did you do much presentations in school, at secondary school?
Not really, no, not at all. I did one for my junior cert, the new cycle, CBA. The junior cert. We did the English and we had to do something that you liked and God, didn't go well. It was okay, it wasn't the worst, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I got there in the end, but it's just kind of nerve-wracking in front of your own
peers.
Same for singing, like I'm terrified of singing in front of my peers.
Yeah.
But whereas if I have like a, not really terrified, but like I sing in front of them, like in school and stuff, but it still, it feels weird.
Yeah.
Because you're like, oh God, you know?
Yeah.
But with Like, if I go into a theater and see people like people, I'm fine with that. Like, yeah. I don't care. Do you know what I mean?
Exactly. I mean, I would have done anything else except speaking from my period in school.
Yeah.
Because I know most of them either don't care or just there to the piss.
Exactly.
Whereas when it's like it's a crowd of strangers or they're paying tickets to be there.
Yeah, they want to be there. They want to know what
they
you're
want
doing.
To hear you, whether they're singing or they're public speaking, they're actually genuinely interested.
Exactly. They're not interested,
they can walk out. You know,
yeah, exactly.
So,
yeah, yeah.
No, I'm definitely the exact same. Yeah. I think I was so lucky that our school actually did a lot of presentations because we were a brand new school and we were guinea pigs and stuff. So, first, second, third year, I also did the BT Young Scientist first year. And we had to present Sydney, which had the judges and all that. And then
that would have helped a lot, yeah.
Yeah, so much. And we won 2 awards. So, when you win an award, you have to go up on stage and take photos of whatever. And that was just an amazing experience.
Yeah,
We're a brand new school, so most schools start prepping the year before for the project, especially schools on a corporate that take so many awards every year.
Yeah,
so
our, exactly, no, yeah.
So our teacher was said to us the day of the awards, she's like, here, you did a great job, you worked your butts off, but don't take any awards, you know, because you know, you only had a couple of months to prep and stuff. And when I signed up, I didn't even realize the size of it. I didn't never even heard of it.
Yeah.
And then we won 2 awards, won the GA award, we were the first ever handball project, and then came second in our category or something.
Oh, for play.
But
it
was so funny the first day we walked in, because to one side of us, it was like a sensor to the back of a bike that alerted you to the character behind you. The other side, they made a virtual reality of the school, so you could do a full walk.
Oh my god!
School, right?
Yeah.
We came in with a black bin bag with a piece of wood. We recreated the football court, and we had some lasers and stuff that we got from science. And we were like, "Oh, we're so framed!" Like we were like, "We have absolutely no chance of getting anything," but. We ended up finding out.
That
was mad. And also, like, I got chances through the school. I was invited to the pastor, so I spoke on stage in front of teachers and stuff. But I've been very fortunate in the other chances. And I think that if it wasn't for the school, I wouldn't have found out I love public speaking and I wanted to do that. And if you're looking for a public speaker, an inspirational public speaker, feel free to. My email will be down below. But but again, it's slowly but surely. Like, the bigger my brand builds, the bigger the company gets, more opportunities.
But it's great to know that you want to do that and that you've set this up at your age. It's just, it's really good.
No, like, I was so lucky because, like, for some of the reasons, since I was young, I always wanted to get into business. Just, I knew that. There was no question.
Yeah.
Didn't know how I was going to be in the business, didn't know what business was going to be, but I knew I was going to be in it. YouTube, and I didn't realize this on YouTube, that was going to be a knock-on effect of getting my business, and then in turn, get so many opportunities off it as well, clients and everything. But, it's funny, like I kind of really resonate with the whole thing of signing up for the Junior Eurovision, thinking Carnegie Hall, and end up in a place where you're going to meet someone and go to Boston. Same thing happened to us, we met someone, perfect, he helped get a contact, and we ended up in.
It's amazing, it really, it's just like a knock-on effect. Like,
it's when you put yourself in the right places and actually show up. And not be afraid to talk to people. Like,
exactly, that's how you make contact. You have to be able to speak to people.
Yeah.
But also a good thing to be able to know is that how to speak to someone that you wouldn't know. And I also sang in Doonbeg at Trump's Hotel. They have the big golf course there, it was really cool. There was an event there and I got to sing at that as well, which is, it's incredible from what things, what things come from different things.
So that's one more question kind of before we wrap up. What kind of selfishly, but how do you try and use your online brands? Obviously, you're present on YouTube, but don't really post too often.
Yeah, like I post as much as I can, because as like a classical singer, I don't want to be putting up things as I have them. Do you know what I mean? It's like if I put up something, it has to be perfect.
Yeah.
Like I'm a bit of a perfectionist when it comes to my singing. Anything else? Not really. I'm fine. But with singing, it has to be perfect. If there's a bum note in it and everything else is fine, I still won't put it up. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Everything, like your voice is very, you don't know how it's going to be. Do you know what I mean? Like one day to the next, it can be different how you're dealing with it, because you can have a cold, you can wake up with a cold, you can wake up with like a sore throat. It really just depends, because it's your body. You don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
But basically with my online presence, like you just have to, I have a Facebook page, Amy Banks Music.
Yeah, link down below.
I have my Instagram, it's more of my personal Instagram, but I post things on there about my music and stuff. And then I have a Twitter account, I have a website, and then I also, that's really it, I think.
YouTube.
I'll
link down below from the
I want to post more, but it's really just the fact of having the opportunities to sing and record them, and record them well.
Because mostly
it's just mobile uploads. I don't really have, we have a camera at home, but it's just one for pictures. It's not really one for recording. So, it's definitely something that I want to make better. My YouTube channel, I really want to expand it a bit more and kind of get more content up, because I can post things and then there won't be another post for another 3 or 4 months. So I kind of want to get that a bit better. But I post a lot on Facebook and Twitter. And on my Instagram, I post things sometimes, but most of my singing stuff is on my Facebook page.
So.
That's it.
So if any upcoming gigs, do you want to come and check you out, see you live?
I actually don't. At the minute, I can't think of many.
Yeah.
But I do know that there will be some down the road. Christmas time is usually busy.
That's it.
If you have a look on my Facebook page or my Twitter or maybe on my Instagram, there is going to be updates on there anyway.
They'll all be linked down below as well.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for recording this.
Not at all.
Again, I'm sorry for messing up the first one.
But
I think this is a great conversation. I hope you all enjoyed it as well. If you did, comment down below which parts you enjoyed. Subscribe if you haven't already, and go follow Amy for updates. And we will see you next week. Good night, relive.